Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It normally airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with a community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Manny.
And me, Emily.
And me, Fernando.
We all attend Ukiah High School. Today our topic is education beyond the classroom. As young people, we spend a huge amount of time in classrooms. We are taught the basic skills that our society considers essential for wakeful, productive citizens. For some students, this is an easy, fulfilling time. For some others, it is often unpleasant and frustrating. Either way, it is what we generally consider to be the core of our education.
Outside of the classroom, we are frequently learning practical skills from our parents and elders. Things like cooking, cutting firewood, cleaning, and repairing a house. Some of us are learning work skills at part-time jobs that will be the basis of our careers. Some of us are developing our personal passions, whether it be producing podcasts or playing a musical instrument. Sometimes listening to older people tell their stories is an educational experience. Sometimes working with younger people gives us the opportunity to learn many new things. Going to a different region and seeing different cultures can lead us to realize a great deal about ourselves. Part of what we will discuss today is how travel and being in different places is an exciting form of education. This is not limited to exotic trips. Going from Ukiah to Santa Rosa or Fort Bragg to San Jose can be quite a change of culture. In some ways, gaining a new perspective is a true goal of all education. But we also want to talk with you about other ways that we are educated outside of the classroom. There is a Chinese proverb that says a single conversation with a wise person is better than 10 years of study.
Community service can be a good way to learn skills and expand horizons. For example, working on stream restoration can be hands-on education in biology, economics, and history. Helping the elderly can lead to learning about different eras and places. Teaching younger students new skills can be very rewarding. Sometimes an unexpected change in our life or family can expand our perspective. The loss of a family member or birth of a new one can lead us to insights. Listening to music and going to movies can open us up to fresh ideas. Looking at art, whether in museums, buildings, or graffiti, can inspire us. Producing art or music can lead us to explore aspects of ourselves that were locked away before. Acting in plays can give us a chance to view the world from a different set of circumstances.
Work experience can teach a great deal on how to follow instructions, accomplishing a given task in a certain amount of time, and getting financially rewarded for our efforts. Learning a trade, whether carpentry, cooking, or retail sales, can lead us to explore occupational possibilities. And working raises our level of self-confidence. Sometimes the classroom can make us feel just the opposite. Getting paychecks leads us to opening the classroom, and it can make us feel... Getting paychecks lead us to opening bank accounts, learning real-world money management skills. Education outside the classroom is important in discovering our role in the world. It teaches us how we perceive society where all ages are involved and where many different skill levels work together. Our educational system keeps the people together in a narrow age band for 12 years. A number of alternative schools have worked with multi-age classrooms with various levels of success. We are a generation that is growing up with vast amounts of information available instantly through the internet. And for most of us, access to the web is in a smartphone that we carry with us everywhere. Some older people argue that the internet cannot be trusted because anyone could put anything up on a website. Some people imagine that everything that has been printed in a book or magazine is credible. But a critical analysis of the history of the book will show that there has been a huge amount of disinformation between many book covers. Historical books from different countries usually contradict each other. Religious texts are the most frequently printed books in most languages.
Mark Twain said, "I have never let my schooling interfere with my education." Sometimes, hanging out with friends and acquaintances can lead to discussions that are extremely educational. Sometimes, talking to a complete stranger can open new doors that lead to new perspectives. Sometimes solitude is a great teacher, allowing us to resort our experiences and conversations, and to arrive at a greater understanding of who we are. American futurist Alvin Toffler wrote, "The illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who cannot read and write, but those who cannot learn, unlearn, and relearn." And philosopher Joseph Chilton Pierce wrote, "We have a cultural notion that if children were not engineered, if we did not manipulate them, they would grow up as beasts of the field. This is the wildest fallacy in the world."
When we open the phone lines in 30 minutes or so, we would like to hear from you about the ways in which you have been educated outside of classroom. We would like to hear about specific educational opportunities in our region for young people and for adults as well. We want to hear if everything you needed to know you learned in kindergarten, as Robert Fulgman wrote. We are in the Willard studio, and our phone number is 707-456-9991. We will tell you when we are opening the phone lines. We'll start this part of the show by talking about how we have had educational experiences outside the classroom.
So, my parents own a small business here in Willits, and I've had a job since I was 12 years old, which has been really nice, you know, never having to actually apply for something outside of my hometown. And I've learned so much just from working a couple days a week at this little ice cream and deli. Like, I have my food handler's cert, I know how to make coffee, espresso, I know how to deal with people, and I have catering experience, and I just have a lot of, like, hands-on information and experience that a lot of kids won't have even when they're adults. And, like, that has helped me so much so far, and I'm only 16.
Have you ever had to, like, deal with a negative customer?
Oh, all the time.
Or a bad customer. How do you usually deal with a problem like that?
They're always right. You just smile and, you know, try to help them out as much as you can, and you just, it's honestly helped so much in different, you know, real-world situations where working with other people and trying to listen to other people's opinion, even when you know that you're right. So, it has its ups and downs.
Did it ever get, like, too bad that you just didn't want to do it anymore?
There's definitely been days where I don't want to go to work.
Yeah.
But then I think of, you know, it's a family business. It's my role, you know, is to help. And I also enjoy getting paid, too. So that's another positive. Do either one of you do any work with, like, your families, like, outside of school?
Yeah. And the summer is usually when my uncle has his jumping house business. It's usually more, you know, busy in the summer, so he'll need a little bit extra help. And there I kind of learned, you know, made me feel good once I, like, you know, got some money for working, doing something. And I actually kind of learned how to talk to people more because, you know, when the customer is asking, you know, what time, they might be curious on what time they have to pick up, you know, we have to come and pick it up or how long they can jump. And, you know, you kind of get more, you get to talk to people more and it's, you know, you get to be more comfortable around others.
Yeah, I remember I had a job because my mom used to own a baby clothes store, and I would be the cashier, do stock, and it was always fun and weird seeing new people coming in and out and interacting with people for just a little bit, and then after that, never seeing them again. So it's just a different experience after, like, if I were, say I were to go to school and you see everybody, the same people every single day repetitively. And then you get a job, and there's people you'll never see again, but you just see them for a little bit. And it's kind of funny to see everybody and how they all have their own story.
Do you think the age difference makes, like, a really, like, a big effect on it? Because I know, like, in school, we're always around, you know, people between the ages of 13 to 18. And, you know, the only adults really are the teachers. And it's not like we have a lot of one-on-one, you know, personal bonding time with each teacher. So, like, do you see a huge difference when you're spending time with people who, you know, don't fit into that bracket?
What do you mean? Like, do I see a difference when they're, like, younger kids compared to, like, older kids?
Like, just speaking with them in general, like, do you have, like, a different connection to them?
Yeah, I always feel, whenever I'm the oldest person in a group, I always kind of just feel as if everyone's just waiting on me for something. Like, I feel responsible for them when they're just way younger than me.
Yeah, I think either way, it doesn't matter the age. You can still always learn something from somebody, you know. Because a lot of the time I spend, well, you know, outside of school, I'll be at home or around my family, and a lot of my cousins are, you know, way younger than me. And it's just cool to, like, kids are so curious, and they'll ask a bunch of questions, and it's cool to, like, give them an answer. You know, although there's not always an answer, you know, there's still, like, curiosity in the kid, and that. And, you know, that's what makes you kind of feel like, wow, I can teach them something.
Their questions kind of make you rethink how.
Yeah, and then, you know, then maybe they'll learn. They'll be like, oh, you know, and they'll keep going. And just, you know, you can kind of find their interest before they do, because, you know, you're older and you kind of know a little bit more. That's what's cool about, even for me, talking to older people older than me, you know. I look at them and I just, even just looking in their eyes, it's like, wow, they've seen way more than me. So they have a lot more to say. Mm-hmm. So either, you know, it doesn't matter the age, there's kind of something you can learn or get from somebody, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, because a lot of things that you learn can be good or bad, you know.
Yeah. I feel like the other thing that has taught me so much about dealing with people, or like even myself, is playing sports with a, you know, with a large team and traveling places and going to all these different tournaments and games and seeing how people react to, you know, losing or winning. Like, that has taught me so much. I've played, you know, volleyball and softball and basketball and soccer, and it's like crazy to see the difference in people and like how they respond to different situations and stress. Like, I know, Fernando, you play soccer. Yeah. Like, do you relate to that at all?
No, yeah, I definitely relate to that. When we go to an away game and we're on the bus and we're on the way there, we're all just so intense and focused and just have this mindset. But some of us are still messing around, but as soon as we get there, we're all just locked in, ready to go and ready to play. So pumped up. And then depending on the outcome, we head back. If we lose, we have our heads down a little bit, but we cheer up on the way back. And if we win, then we're just happy the entire time, messing around. And like on the bus, we're just a bunch of guys, so we're messing around and making fun of each other. So it's also a good way of learning how to take a joke and being in a group of people that you feel super close to, kind of like a second family.
Yeah, I definitely can relate to that feeling. Yeah. I played summer softball as well, so that had nothing to do with the school system at all. And we, you know, we traveled all over. We traveled to Nevada. We traveled down south. You know, we went to all these different tournaments, and the change of people's attitudes in the summer playing softball compared to during school time was huge. You know, people were a lot more relaxed, and they're just a lot more willing to be fun and cheery. And I know,
not
like,
as worried as for yeah. like,
yeah, not as worried about their homework for the night or anything like that. So it was really fun. But
since we're talking about sports, well, another thing, you know, you learn, you don't really learn sports at school. You know, there's no one teaching. I mean, there is PE teacher, but half the time the sports, you know, we already know those, the basics to those sports that they try to teach us. So, you know, people you grow up with, you know, they'll kind of show you, or you just look, or maybe you're watching a baseball game and you see how the person swings, the batter, and, you know, you're like, wow, he hits hard, and you kind of try to find your own rhythm. So, you know, that's like, either you can teach yourself how to be how to play the sport, or, you know, just with others around in your neighborhood.
And I feel like hanging out with friends too, you know, like just like either whether it be like your teammate or, you know, someone that you had in a class or your neighbor or something, like they teach you so much too, because like you get to see their perspective on things, especially if you go to their house or like spend the night, you know, like I've gotten to know people like so much better just because I went over to their house and I saw how they lived. And you know, it really gave me a whole new perspective on them as a person, and like realizing that they have their own struggles and everybody has their own struggles.
Right.
No, yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, I also love letting people come over to my house. We're always just there all the time. Whenever if I can have someone in my house, I'll always have them over without a problem. And if not, I'll go anywhere else and just be with them. I honestly don't mind being around people. That's like my favorite part about Ukiah. Everyone kind of knows each other, and everyone can just be social with everybody else.
And that's also kind of a cool thing about, you know, having a job right on the 101, is that we have people come in that are from all over. Like, we've had people from Argentina show up, or from, you know, all different places of the world, or the United States even. And, you know, they'll ask, like, oh, like, how long has this business been here? Like, do you like working here? Things like that. And I'll ask them where they're from. And it's really interesting seeing how many different types of people will come in, you know, to this little hole-in-the-wall ice cream shop. And, you know, it's just, like, a crazy range of personalities. And, you know, you have people who are really loud and outgoing, and you have people who are, like, barely afraid to order.
No, I remember one time in my mom's store, someone tried to steal, and it just got really awkward and weird because we had to stop her and tell her, hey, you can't be doing that. And she was kind of, I don't know, she just wasn't right in the head, and she was kind of freaking out. I felt kind of bad because I didn't want to kick her out, but she wasn't doing the right thing, so we kind of had to.
I feel like the homeless as well around Willits, especially, like, I know, like, after work or something, if there's somebody out there, my mom will bring them a sandwich or something, just because, you know, we know that they're hungry or that they're in need. And, like, some of the conversations that my mom or my stepdad has had with homeless people, it's really interesting to see, you know, some of these people, you know, they come from a good family or, like, they're not from here at all. And just seeing how, like, their whole life is just flipped upside down from, you know, our lives or anyone else that we probably know. I think that's really interesting as well.
Yeah, also movies, I think you can kind of learn a lot from watching a movie or following a story or something. Because, you know, like you said, this is almost the same because, you know, you get to see someone else's life, mm-hmm. but you're not actually in their shoes, you know, and you kind of know. You can kind of figure out the problem before they do because it's a movie, you know, mm-hmm. and you kind of always keep that with you now because now you know the solution to whatever the problem is in the story.
I feel like literature in general, too, like when you read a book, especially if it's in like the first person point of view, you're reading it and they're talking about, you know, their life and they're talking in detail about all of the experiences that they've gone through. It really gives you a new view on them and, you know, their history and everything like that. It's really interesting.
Do you guys think, like, the first couple people you meet growing up, just think about your family, do you think those people have, like, a really big role in what you learn? Or who you, or your, just in interests in general, like, you know, who they are, they kind of make you almost similar in a way, so you have those same interests?
I definitely feel that way. My dad has really influenced me as far as, you know, my love for animals and horses and, you know, as well as kind of being a redneck and, like, hunting and, you know, fishing and doing things like that. But then, you know, my mom's more of the soft one, and she likes to cook, and she, you know, always has her house clean, and I feel like I'm kind of a mix of them, and my brothers really influence me in everything I do, so...
Yeah, I feel the same with my dad and my mom. I always feel like growing up, I kind of try to copy them in a way all the time. Just try emulating them because they're like the first couple of people you really look up to. And then, yeah, having my sisters around, they were always two people that pushed me to do my best and always try to teach me something along the way.
I feel like I've learned so much from both my brothers because I've seen all the mistakes that they've made all through high school and, you know, growing up. And it's a real learning experience watching them grow up and then kind of modeling your life as, you know, what am I going to do? And, like, what kind of person do I want to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think we learn a lot of cool things at school, but I feel like just, at least for me, I learned more outside of school. At least at, you know, at a younger age now, you know, I'm actually paying attention more. But, yeah, like a lot of the things that I know, I kind of just, you know, had curiosities for. Like, for example, the guitar, I just heard I don't remember when I heard, you know, that sound, but I was like, wow, that's cool. I never even had a guitar till, you know, now I'm 17. I finally bought one. And, you know, just trying to mess around and, try to replay what I hear on different songs. That's how the way I learned it, you know. But I know there is books out there that can teach you, you know, like music theory. Those are things, you know, you have to know by obviously reading or getting taught that. But it's fun, you know, finding the feel for something instead of just following the steps. But I know a lot of people, you know, a lot of people have told me, you know, that you probably should just take it into consideration, maybe read a book on a music theory just to get a little bit more, you know, I guess a little stone step so you can step on to get to the next rock or whatever.
One of my cousins was actually the first one to introduce me to piano, And then from piano, I learned guitar, and then, you know, ukulele, and then I just messed around with, you know, a couple different instruments. And I have met so many people from just playing a few instruments. And, like, I was in rock band at Laytonville High, and I was in contemporary music ensemble at Ukiah High. And I've just met so many people, and I've learned so many skills as far as, you know, more than just playing the instrument, but setting up the sound system, setting up a drum kit, you know, a lot of things that most people don't know how to do when they're 15 or 16. Mm-hmm. But it's come in so handy at other places.
No, yeah, I agree. What do you guys think traveling has to do, or what do you learn as you travel around to different places?
If you travel, what can you learn?
Yeah, what can you learn, or what do you see, or what benefits do you get out of traveling?
You get to see a whole different world, a lot of new faces. For me, growing up, whenever I would go to somewhere new, it still felt like Ukiah. That's just because, you know, wherever I went, it just seemed, it was so small, you know, and it felt like Ukiah. But once I went to, you know, somewhere like Los Angeles, I was like, wow, there's so many different places with different, just the looks of everything. Once you step outside of a building, you know, when you're just walking on public land, you know, just where everyone is free to go. But you can learn a lot, you know, you can see art all around, and maybe it opens your eyes to something, or it has a similar idea or a thought behind it that you've seen in a different painting, maybe in your neighborhood or your area.
I went to Nashville, Tennessee, when I think I was 9 years old, and the one thing that's, you know, stuck out most was just how musical the entire city was. And, you know, there's art everywhere, there's graffiti, and there's murals, and then in every little corner or store or bar, there is, you know, someone playing guitar and singing, or a band playing, or there's always advertisements for some of other different, you know, music ensemble. And I just remember that and thinking, like, wow, like, this is so cool.
Yeah, that's where you can, you know, get inspired sometimes and be like, I want to do something like that, or this is what I want to do. You know, you can find your own, I wouldn't say hobbies, but your own passions, you know, just by looking around.
Yeah, I've also had another moment like that when I was very young. I was probably like 8 or 9. I went to my great aunt's house, and she had this whole room dedicated to everyone in our family that has been in the military. And I think that was like my like awe moment of like, I want to go into the military. And it just like forever changed my life after that.
That's cool.
I feel the same. I've been thinking about joining the military when the first time I started meeting my brother-in-law, the husband to my sister, because he was in the Marines when I first met him, and I visited him in San Jose at his base. And ever since, he's really just been like an older brother to me and taught me a lot and really influenced a lot of the things that I like today. Just because he's like stopped and talked to me for a bit and took an interest.
Do you think that the structure in high school is a negative or positive for, you know, the effect on us high schoolers? It's like after high school, you know, you don't have that same structure.
I think it scares people a little bit, you know, because you're like, not anxious, but you're like worried, you know, like, oh, what am I going to do after high school? But I think, you know, as me being a young student still, and anyone out there my age, you know, just we got to remember what are our passions and what do we like to do, and, you know, go on from there, and don't worry so much about being perfect always, you know. I was actually having a conversation with my uncle this morning, and, you know, he was saying it had to do with music, but he was saying a lot of the things you're going to learn by, you know, trial and error, you know. It can't always just be perfect, and don't think of going into anything, whether it's the music or, you know, you're going to your first day at a hospital. Don't go in there trying to make everything perfect, you know, kind of just learn and get comfortable, and then, you know, that will help you become stronger. But I was thinking too, like, just having a dog. I've had dogs in the past, you know, but I wasn't really, like, you know, the one who was actually caring for it. now I just got a new dog. You know, and it's that can teach you too something, you know. It teaches you to be a little bit more responsible. You got to clean up for them, feed them, you know, and kind of just teach them the house. Like, that was probably the cool part, you know, just teaching them, walking them around, and that can teach, you know, just to be responsible. Because one day I'm pretty sure a lot of people out there want to have, you know, children or something.
Yeah. No, I know. I have a cat, and I do the same. I try to train her to sit on my little chair in my room, and it's just so hard because you have to be so patient, and it won't stay there. She won't stay there. Sometimes she'll run out of my room, and she's not supposed to because my niece will come over, and she's allergic to cats, and it's, like, sad because she gets all puff-eyed, and she starts crying, and I feel bad. So I try to keep my cat in my room or outside whenever, and it shows me, it just kind of, like, teaches you how to be careful with your pets, because a lot of the times people are allergic, or if sometimes your pets can just be really dangerous to kids and scratch them or bite them.
Have either one of you ever volunteered for anything?
I haven't, like, volunteered to, or, you know, someone asked
like
me,
as far,
I guess,
as, like, community service or anything like that? Or?
Yeah, I've definitely done some sort of service to the community, you know, and just helping out. There's been a couple of times, like, there's this guy just raking leaves, and I would pass by there every day at the end of the day, and he's just raking and raking and raking, and I'm like, man, you know, the same thing every day, and that's a lot.
What do you think,
to, like, come tomorrow to do the same thing? So I was like, hey, I'll help you out, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think, just, you know, just by helping him rake leaves, like, what did that teach you? Did that teach you anything at all?
Not anything, I guess, that I didn't already know. Because I wasn't really doing it like, oh, I'm going to do it to look good. But I was just like, you know, I kind of felt bad. So I guess it kind of taught me, you know, to help others. But, you know, that's the thing. Sometimes you might not trust people. And that can be, you know, some sort of a thing you learn, you know. Like when there's people around you, like being hurt, mm-hmm. you know, like that teaches you sometimes, you know. But sometimes, say a breakup, that can, your first ever, you know, real relationship, and it, say something wrong goes on and you break up, that can either affect you, like, oh, you know, and you're in this, you know, you're just so isolated for a while, or, you know, you can be like, I'll keep trying. So I think, you know, just pain and, like I said, error, mm-hmm. you know, it teaches you a lot. But what about things from school? Because I feel like we're talking about a lot of things outside of school, but.
No, I feel like school has taught me a lot, definitely, for sure. Just trying to stay on top of everything that I do and just try and be responsible for myself and all my actions and do all the work I need to do to actually stay on top of everything.
Yeah, I feel like the one thing that I can definitely take away from school is, you know, responsibility and always, you know, doing your homework and doing things on time. But, like, as far as hands-on things, the only class that I can really say, like, has taught me more about people and, like, life and things like that would be my scrubs class, my, like, elective. And, you know, we talk about, you know, emergency situations, and they teach us how to do, like, CPR or, like, how to use an AED and things like that. And I feel like it's AED is like a defibrillator. If someone has, like, a heart attack or isn't responsive. But it's just, I feel like that's the only class that I'm really going to, really use in my future, because I want to be a nurse. But, I mean, I was sitting in geometry a couple weeks ago, and I'm thinking, when am I ever going to use, you know, this formula, or when am I ever going to, you know the difference between these two shapes, or, you know.
I don't know. I try to take classes I actually really like. Whenever I get a class I don't like, I try to get out as fast as I can. Because I remember I took a photo last year, and I really liked that class. But after a while, it just kind of got repetitive, and I didn't like it so much. I still really like photography, though. It just taught me how to look at detail and look at the whole picture, just look at little things of the picture that'll make it a whole lot better.
Do you see high school classes as being, like, cookie cutter? Like, there are only four of those students that really excel, you know, in mathematics or English, or
I don't think it's there for just those people. I think they want to teach everybody the same things. That's why I think there are those, you know, certain classes that we have to take to give everybody, like, some sort of equal knowledge on something, you know. So that way, if the thing is, like, some people might be interested in those things, that's why they, you know, they excel or they do better in class. But I think it's there for everybody, you know, but just the student has to find what they like. But just make sure you're actually all kind of paying attention too, you know, because it's not about your grades, but at the end, you know, that's what's going to help you get your diploma. And I know I learned that really late, you know, and my family would tell me a lot, you know, just get your diploma. And I was so like, I mean, I still haven't graduated, but, you know, I'm working on it. But for a long time, I didn't really do schoolwork and stuff, you know. It was just like I was more paying attention to everything outside of school instead of, you know, just kind of mashing them together and keeping all my interests.
I know we talked about this earlier, but do you think that people are kind of, you know, from an early age, people will say, like, okay, this is a smart kid, this is a stupid kid, this is the kid that won't go anywhere, and this is the kid that's obviously going to go to, like, a four-year college, and, like, do you think that really affects people as far as in high school and how well they will actually do and push themselves?
Yeah, I do, because when the teacher starts analyzing everybody and, you know, that's kind of like those kids who need that extra help or, you know, aren't doing good, and if they don't get that help or if they're seeing others succeed and, you know, they're not, that can put them in a situation where they're, you know, they're not, they don't, they feel bad, you know, they're like, they're so down on themselves. And that's where, you know, all those negative thoughts come in and you kind of question like, oh, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. Of course, at a young age, you might not think of it as much, but you do feel hurt, you know, because you're like, I want to have a good grade. Like on movies, you know, when you see, or on TV shows, they put that A on the refrigerator, you know, like we all kind of have an idea. We want to put that up there someday.
So I live in Laytonville half the weekend. I actually went to, you know, Laytonville Middle School, and for my freshman year, I went there as well for high school. But I know the big thing was that a lot of kids who didn't push themselves were just saying, you know, I don't need an education. I don't need to go to college because I can grow marijuana. And I feel like that's still very prominent today. And I think it's really sad because a lot of kids don't want to put any energy into being a better person or, you know, getting a B on their math test or, you know, trying to get an education at all because they think that they could always fall back on growing pot.
I think that has to do with what they learned, you know, because that's all when they were growing up, that's probably all they saw. But the thing is, probably maybe a lot of the times their parents, that's the only skills they have, you know. But as a kid growing up and seeing that, you know, that's all you know. So you see, that's like an easy way because you see that it's a good way to make money. So I think it has to, you know, that's where you learn that. Like I said, you either learn good things or bad things. I'm not saying, you know, growing pot is good or bad because that's not what I'm here for. But I think just, you know, it's just like I said, how you take things. You can either follow someone else. I mean, I might sound like a hypocrite because when I was growing up, one of my uncles was producing hip hop beats, and you know that interested me. And now I'm doing that, so you know, I'm not saying it's a good thing either, but or a bad thing, but it just has to do with how you take everything, you know, because there's more out there. So don't, I guess, say if you're gonna grow, if people out there are saying I'm gonna grow pot, think of that as your plan B, but try to do something better and bigger for the world.
Do you think that same mindset is in Ukiah as well?
Yeah, most definitely here, because, I mean, it's all around. You know, and it's all over the place.
No, yeah, I definitely agree. I feel like most people just say to themselves, why do I need to be doing this? Why do I have to go to school, to go to college, to get a diploma, to get a job, when I could just grow pot and make the same amount of money and make it faster, is what most people want to say and do. But in all reality, it's slow money and it's just a whole lot of hard work, manual labor, day in and day out, having to check everything. So it's not any easier, really. You're just switching one thing for another.
So I know, like, when you're in school and you know you get an A+ if you do something good, or you get a gold star, brownie points or something, you know. And once you get out of high school, you don't have that same reward system. Like, you're lucky if someone tells you that, you know, you did a good job or something. And so, like, How do you think that affects people? You know, like, they always think that they're not doing enough, or, like, doesn't make them not want to, you know, go on further?
Like, if they feel like they're not doing enough because they can't, or, like, they just
because they're not constantly getting that, you know,
like that push.
Yeah, or like you're doing a good job. Like, here's your gold star sticker.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the people lack that, and so they need it more. Some people need it more than others. Some people really need to get pushed to actually do something.
Yeah, even a negative thing can push you. You know, when people say you can't do it, that can be a learning. That can be your only inspiration. You know, to just keep doing it. But it just depends on the person and how they feel. Because me, I mean, a lot of the time growing up, it was like, you can't do it, you can't do it. At that time, I took it personal, you know, like, oh, maybe I can't. But, you know, once you grow and you kind of learn and you talk to more people, it's like, oh, you know, maybe they're just trying to push you to keep doing it.
Do you think there's more motivation to learn outside the classroom?
I don't think it's motivation. I think it just comes naturally, you know.
Just curiosity?
Yeah. And, you know, because it's not like people are telling you, here, this is what you need to learn. As we're in school, it's like, they're not telling you that either, but they're handing out information. It's like, the paper they may pass out, or their form, it's like instructions and like, you know, it's what you should know, basically. Like, yeah. They're already giving it all out to you instead of you finding it.
I feel like outside of class, you know, if you want to learn more about something, you can just look it up and you can learn whatever you want about whatever, you know, you'd like. And in class, I know there's been times where I want to learn more about a certain subject and I'll ask questions and the teacher will be like, oh, no, like, we have a study plan today. We can't go, you know, too far off the beaten path. But
yeah,
I feel like outside of class, you just have that freedom. And so it really lets your curiosity just run loose and whatever you want to learn about, you can.
All right, anyone, you know, our age listening out there right now, what would you tell them about picking a career? Like, should you do something because it pays a lot or because you love it?
I feel like it has to be a good mix of both. Because, like, I mean, if you don't love it, then you're just going to hate going to work every day. And if it's a career choice that you're going to be doing, you know, until you retire one day, you're going to hate it. You're just going to be miserable every day. And, you know, getting a nice paycheck is nice as well because, you know, you can have a comfortable life. But at the same time, I feel like it really just comes down to whether you love it or not.
Yeah, definitely. If you love your job, it's not even like you're going to a job. It's just kind of like you're going through your day and there's really nothing bad about it. If you really love your job, you really like it, like I said, it's not even like going to work. It's like waking up in the morning and just going through it like nothing. Like, it's just
getting paid to have fun.
Pretty much, yeah, if you really like your job.
From working with people, you know, at my job or during sports and everything like that, like, that's where I really discovered, like, my love for helping people. And so, like, that's why I'm going after, you know, a career in being a nurse. Because I just love that feeling of giving back to people. And, like, I don't know if I would have learned that as soon as I did if I hadn't had this job, you know, for the past 4 years.
Yeah, so, you know, every kids out there, even people my age, you know, find what you like. Even if you don't know right now, just you will find it. Just keep looking.
We are going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 707-456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call. Please call if you have ideas about education beyond the classroom. What percentage of your education occurred away from school? What educational opportunities exist here in Mendocino County for young people outside the regular classrooms?
Can you remember an event outside the classroom that was a profound educational experience? Did you learn much by just listening to older people? Do you know of community opportunities for young people in Mendocino County?
Should travel and field trips be a regular part of our educational system?
Do you take your children outside of your local community to learn about how other people live? In what ways is the internet an educational boon? Do you think it is a good idea that many young people spend 6 or more hours per day on the internet and texting each other?
Please call 456 991. Your ideas and opinions are very important. Our goal is to involve the community in a dialogue that we can all learn from. What would you say about education outside the classroom? The phone number is 456-991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you. All right, well, like we were saying, what did we say about travel? Like, how do we think people going to different places, different parts of the country, or going to just completely different countries affect how people think about life?
I think it's crazy just how, like, diverse people are, you know, in the United States. You know, I've gone to, you know, a couple of different states, and just, you know, going one state over to Nevada, people are completely different. Like, you don't hear a lot about marijuana or... You know, a lot of the things that we hear
at school. Yeah. At school.
And just like the whole community is different. And like,
caller, you're on air.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Mark in Shelter Cove, California, listening to you youngsters, and you're very thoughtful, intelligent young people. It's fun to listen to you.
Thank you.
I had a couple ideas and answers to some of your questions. One was regarding learning stuff outside of the classroom. You're going to learn your whole lives through experience. And if you choose certain goals or certain things that you want to learn, certain subjects, books are great. There's so many good books out there. So I just wanted to throw that in.
Yeah, definitely.
And then... in regards to the use of the computer 6 hours a day, I think that's probably damaging young people's minds because there's just too much stuff there and it's not real, whereas working or studying or reading books or being out in nature is much more real and I think a lot healthier. The computer is obviously a good tool. There's a lot of information there. There's almost too much, unless you're specifically looking for something, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's my 2 cents. And I just, once again, you youngsters sound real intelligent and thoughtful, and you're all going to do real well, I'm sure of that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And life is great, and there's a lot to do out there other than being on the computer.
True.
Thank you.
All right, you guys. Well, keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
All right. Bye.
I definitely feel like hands-on things, you know, going out in nature, being around people, that's a lot more rewarding than just looking something up on the web or anything like that.
Yeah, from last caller. He was saying how, you know, kids do spend a lot of time on their phones. I think that's a cool thing that we experienced. You know, I'm pretty sure all three of us in here, you know, we were outside more growing up.
Yeah.
So we were exposed to, you know, germs and all this dirt. And now it's more like, you know, kids are scared, you know. Like, I can say that because I have a couple cousins who are, you know, I can show them a vegetable and they'll freak out because they don't know what it is. I'm like, wow, you know. But, you know, I still love them regardless.
I feel like we were the last generation to really get both, you know, the taste of both worlds because, you know, we grew up with the very first, like, iPhone coming out. We're like, okay, that's cool. We were, like, 7, so that we didn't really care.
Yeah, we just wanted toys and go play outside. Yeah.
But then, like, you know, the older we get, the more advanced, you know, smartphones get and the internet and all this technology. So we've kind of gotten to see both sides and... I think that's really, you know, interesting in itself.
Hey, I want to ask you, you know, for research that I do, I've found that the internet is pretty amazing. I have a lot of books. I kind of stored books up over the last 40 years, 50 years. And it's just amazing to me that there's so much information in so many different perspectives you can get through the internet. And while I understand that there's a certain hypnotic quality to going on the internet, actually the amount of information that you can gather is fantastic. And what do you think about that? I mean, because I know this argument about books versus the internet. It's like, well, go to the library, and if you live in an area like here, most of the libraries are pretty limited. I went to Davis, and we had this amazing giant library, and you could find anything there. But you go to the Willits Library or the Laytonville Library, and it's pretty limited. So what do you think about that? And by the way, the number is 456-9991. Give us a call.
Yeah, I totally think the internet does, it's a good resource. I mean, it just depends on what you're looking up, because there is a lot of bad things on there, or, you know, not bad things, but just negative or dark things. But it just depends on how the person, the individual is using it, you know, because there's a lot of things on there. You know, you can just find one little piece. Maybe that's all you need for an essay, you know. It just depends on how you're doing your research.
I feel like reading like a, you know, a hardback book is kind of, it's more rewarding in a sense, though. That's the only thing that, I mean, you can get the same information, you know, on the screen of a computer, but I feel like sitting down and opening up a book and, you know, actually feeling the pages and reading it word for word, it has a more, you know, rewarding feeling for.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, so I would say, you know, don't just rely on the internet, you know, do a little bit more research, but yeah, it could be a good thing, you know. Like me, when I first got interested in music, like lyrics, you know, I would hear these rappers talking about these things, and I was like, well, what are they talking about? You know, I wanted to get a better understanding. I used the internet to search up the lyrics, and, you know, I was reading it, and it kind of taught me, okay, so this is how you put things together, how they work it. And then, you know, I learned just by doing that and, you know, writing my own lyrics and stuff.
No, for sure. I mean, there's a whole different feeling when you actually write something down and turn it in, because it's something that you made. I always prefer writing essays by hand than having to type it, because it just feels so much better when you write a story from beginning to end, or just write an essay with your own handwriting, your own. It's just something you made, and I don't feel like you get that same feeling with like doing it on a computer.
And I also feel like it's kind of rewarding. You're just kind of fun to see like how, you know, you turn something in, it still has your, you know, little annotations on what you did wrong or what you want to fix, and you kind of get to see the essay develop like that.
Yeah.
So you guys are right in the transition when computers, you guys have Chromebooks at school, which is basically a computer with a little bit less equipment, storage equipment. Yeah. But so you guys are using that for most of your classes, aren't you?
Oh, every class. Uh-huh.
And so how do you feel about that? Do you feel like there's some advantages and as well as some disadvantages? Like you don't get to do your writing style. I can see that. But I'm just wondering, how do you feel about using the Chromebooks?
I feel like it's kind of a hassle at times, because you always have to, you know, make sure it's charged and always bring it and, you know, all that. But at the same time, there's a lot of advantages to it because of, you know, we always have, you know, a way to, you know, look something up on the internet without getting in trouble for looking it up on your phone, you know, in class, or if you have to type something, or all classes use Google Classroom now as well, which is like a, it's a website that posts all your homework and assignments and other things like that, or other useful like information that you need for your classes. And so, I mean, it has its advantages, but it's a few disadvantages as well.
Yeah, I agree with Emily too, because at first I was like, oh, I got to carry it around every day and, you know, charge it up at night. But it's a cool thing for those who maybe lack a computer, you know, because now you got that, you know, that computer with you everywhere you go. You can use it once you're at home and outside the classrooms, you know. So I think it's a really cool thing that they let all students have one.
No, yeah, for sure. Honestly, there's been so many times where I've just needed that Chromebook, where I've needed to type an essay the night before because I like waited last minute to do it, or I just needed to do some research, or I needed to do a slide, or there's so many things I can't do on my phone that I can do from the Chromebook. And it's just so helpful sometimes when, or especially like if I didn't have my phone, if I'd left it, or I didn't have my charger and it died, but I had my Chromebook and I could still do all the work that I needed to do. And it was just so helpful to have it.
Yeah, it's really cool, because then you don't rely on people. Say if you don't have a laptop and you're waiting on, say, your sister, your brother, and they're using it, you know, now you got to wait, and that takes less, that takes more of your time away. You know, now you got your own, and you can put your, you can get your essay together and work on it whenever you want, or anything, just research or just on YouTube.
Yeah, well, I'd say as a teacher, where when I teach poetry in the classroom and everybody's writing out by hand, I guess the question I wanted to ask you is, how many of you had penmanship classes when you were in grammar school?
Penmanship, like calligraphy, or is that...
No, just like, yeah, like English, cursive. Writing in English, cursive writing.
Oh, yeah, cursive, yeah. That was maybe elementary school. I actually never really liked cursive because it was hard, but yeah, they tried to teach us, but a lot of the students in our class didn't even like it, so we kind of just... It was there for a while, but I guess it kind of faded away.
I was on independent study up until middle school, and I remember we probably had one class, because we would go into the classroom once a week to get our work and have, like, one normal school day. And I remember we probably only had one class of the, you know, 7 years that I was on independent study that we just worked on cursive writing, you know. And, you know, you work on writing when you're little, but you don't really go back to it much. And I feel like a lot of high schoolers are really lacking that skill.
Yeah.
No, I seriously love cursive. I don't know. That's just, like, my favorite way of writing my name or just writing anything in general. If I could write in cursive, like, everything, I would. There's just something about writing it smoothly, and it does make me feel good.
What about graffiti?
Graffiti? I honestly really love graffiti. Some graffiti just looks so nice and detailed, and all the colors just pop perfectly and come together to make something really, really amazing.
Yeah, well, I think most elementary schools are no longer spending any time on cursive. And that's why I was saying, as a poetry teacher and people are handwriting things, like the amount of time it takes me to figure out what somebody has written is pretty, pretty amazing. Now, you know, I'm not, it's a weird thing. I like the style of handwriting, and I also really believe that something different can come out of you when you're using your hand and a pen. It's like this connection, but maybe it's just because I was trained that way, because when I was growing up, penmanship was a huge thing. I mean, we spent years on it. I had nuns for teachers, and you had to get all your curls right and all that stuff. And only when you're in high school could you start having any kind of style. There was a correct way to do a cursive S or whatever. But I think that it taps into something different, and that the machinery of a computer and a keyboard has a different thing that it hooks you into, hooks your brain into. Does that seem?
Yeah, I kind of understand.
Fumbling old man.
How you feel when I'm writing lyrics? When it's on, sometimes I'll write on the pad and, you know, using the pen. Sometimes it feels, you know, better. As you know, when I'm writing the lyrics, I can kind of keep going. But the cool thing about writing it, because, you know, I'll also write on my phone or on my notes. You know, I'll switch on and off. It just, sometimes it's better because you can get it done quicker. And, you know, it has the voice control. Say if there's a lot of times where I never wrote it down because I didn't have paper, and I was like, wow, you know, I forgot some of those so the bars or lyrics, and you know, those are never going to be heard again by anybody. So, like, the cool thing is, you know, you can have that extra voice control, and, you know, you can just record yourself and then write it down later. So it's, like, a good and bad thing, but I feel like it just depends on the person and how comfortable they are.
Can you say it and then have it put it into text?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what's cool. That's what I was saying. That's the cool thing about it. But, I mean, I never used it first for a while, but
I feel like the other thing besides just, you know, your style of handwriting that has really gone downhill is grammar in general. Like, a lot of kids don't know how to spell simple words because it always autocorrects it on either their computer or their iPhone.
Or they use, like, shorter, like, version. Slang.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I helped a senior write a book report, and I was so surprised of, like, how, you know, he didn't know how to spell words, and he didn't know how to make a proper thesis. It's like, you're supposed to be, you know, ahead of me. And yet, I'm the one who's correcting you. And it's just, I think it's crazy how, like, people just don't put a lot of time and effort into that anymore.
I don't know, English was always my favorite subject. English, and then math, but slowly it stopped being math, and then history. I don't know. It's just something about English that's always super fun that you really can't get in a lot of other classes. It's just reading and then learning from the same books that you're reading, from each character, how they have their own characteristics, and it's so nice to see a bunch of different points of views from all these different types of books.
Name a couple of books that you've really liked, novels.
I loved Catch-22, just for the fact that he had no choice, but he had to go in war, even though he didn't want to, and it was just where he was forced to do something, and he was just so against it.
It's kind of like the school system.
Yeah. You don't want to go to school, but you have to. It's like, oh. And then another novel that I read was, I can't remember. It was
Catcher in the Rye was really good.
Catcher in the Rye was really good, too.
We have the same English class.
I can't remember, but it was about a black man in Chicago during the 1930s, 20s, I think. And it starts off with him being in his room. Oh, Black Boy and Native Son. There you go. I couldn't remember it. Those were really good books. It was just him growing up, and it was just really crazy to hear his whole life story, how he burned down his house.
At 5 years old.
Yeah, at 5 years old, and you just learn a bunch of life stories from people.
And in reading it, you have this experience of being that person, which is like a learning experience too, right?
It's kind of almost like as if you're them, or you're there with them. Like
you're in a totally different environment in the world.
For sure.
And I can always tell if it's like a really good book, if, you know, as you're reading it, you can kind of see like the whole scene playing out in your head.
Yeah.
That's what's cool about books or just stories, anything, you know, that has like a story, because you can predict things and you could be totally wrong, but just how you thought of that idea, even if it's wrong, it's like, wow, somehow you thought of that, you know? So I guess you can learn something, because say if that's not it, you can make your own story now using your prediction. And then once you finish the book, you know, you can kind of learn, or maybe even learn how to finish your book or your story.
And I feel like, you know, in books, the possibilities are endless of what can happen. And maybe this is just me, but like the more people move away from reading, because I know almost none of my friends will sit down and read a book for fun. Probably have one friend that is just like a reading guru and everybody else doesn't read at all. But I feel like the more people step away from books, like the less hopeful they are, because they don't think of all the possibilities that are out there. And when you sit down and read a book, like there are so many different things that could happen. Like if you can think it, you can write it. So.
Yeah, I totally took a long time to actually pick up a book and read it. The first book I actually ever finished was not even a school book. It was just like a book that I found. It's called Down These Mean Streets, and it's like it takes place in, I think, the Bronx, you know, just how it was a memoir of how the guy lived. And after that, you know, I kind of was like, wow, while I was reading it, I actually felt like I was where he was at, you know. And there's actually some things that happened in that book that happened to me in the same time, so I was like tripping out more, you know, like it's cool how you can relate.
Like the story's about me.
Yeah. All right, well, that's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts today are me, Manny.
Me, Emily.
And me, Fernando.
We want to thank Matt Lefever of Ukiah High School for assistance in organizing this show.
Laytonville Healthy Start Coalition's Drug-Free Communities Project is proud to support this month's Youth Speaks Out. Our environmental prevention strategies in the community, also known as EPIC, is a project funded by the Office of National Drug Control Policy. Through our organization and coalition, we are working towards reducing youth substance abuse through a variety of strategies in the Laytonville community. If you are interested in learning more about our efforts, please contact Laytonville Healthy Start at 707-984-8089 or email jama@laytonville.org.
Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website, www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of a show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming audio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them.
Youth Speaks Out is normally aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 3 weeks. That is February 5th at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in February.